Lord, we're so thankful we can gather in your name this morning. Thank you for yourself.
Yes.
Thank you for your word.
Yes.
Thank you for all the brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
And we thank you we have this privilege, this opportunity, this freedom to worship you together.
Amen.
Lord, we come again to your word this morning. Give us some more light. Give us some encouragement.
Right.
Give us a real... a word from you, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We are observing the great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. And last week, Ian gave us a good beginning in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. God is the most crucial, so we had to start with God. Of course, God is involved with everything, but Ian gave us a good beginning. Today, we come, guess who? To Adam, or to man. And today, we would like to focus both sessions on the dignity of mankind. The dignity of mankind, you see. The dignity of mankind. Yes, I hope by the end of this morning, you will be so impressed and so marvelously happy and full of awe and wonder that you are a human being and not a raccoon. There's something so great and so special about how God has made man. Last week, Ian began with this matter that God created, or God creates, he separates, he generates, he delegates, and he relates. We like all these eights, five eights. God created. In the beginning, God created. But even in God's creation, it wasn't just, oh, he created. You see, the record in Genesis is very interesting because God not only created, but in the process of creation, he did some separating, causing some delineation between things. For example, he separated the waters below from the waters above. Then he separated the water from the land. Hey, there's a boundary. Water, you can't go any further, except maybe in the springtime when it floods. But in principle, water, this is your boundary. These are the boundaries of the oceans. This is land. Some separation and so forth. Then God did some generating, producing life on this earth. First with plants, then with birds and sea creatures, then with land animals, and eventually man, which we will come to more today. What's striking then, though, is these last two things is God delegated to mankind some responsibilities and gave man some privileges. And lastly, Ian touched this matter, which we will also cover this morning, and that is that this matter of God relates. That means God is in relationship. God is in relationship with himself and with humankind, mankind. Okay, so this morning we're focusing on God's creation of man and the importance of mankind in God's creation. First of all, I'd like to just say this. What is the purpose? Why did God create man? What does the Bible say why God created man? Okay, first of all is this. In Isaiah chapter 43, there's a few verses in this section, 1 to 7 in Isaiah chapter 43. God is talking about his people Israel. And if you read these verses, if you get a chance to read these verses, it's really touching. God loves Israel, his people. God cares for Israel, his people. And eventually in verse 6 and 7, he says, he refers to them, my sons and my daughters. What? whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and whom I made. God created, according to this verse in Isaiah, God created man for his glory. See, yeah, God created. Why? To glorify himself even more. Actually, you find out, was God glorified before he created man? Actually, he was. In John, if you read John chapter 17, we'll come to it a bit later, but what? There, the Son glorified the Father. The Father glorified the Son. There's already glory there in the Trinity. But there's even more glory, what? In the universe? Actually, we have another verse. Next verse is Psalm. Let's look at the verse Psalm. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. In everything that God does, in creation, in himself, and in the creation of man, in the creation of the universe, there is glory, glory, glory. It's like unlimited glory. Glory in the universe. Glory in man. And glory within the Trinity himself. So N.T. Wright, some of you may not know who this guy is. He's kind of becoming a fairly well-known theologian in England. He had this little thing. When the good creator God made the world, he made heaven and earth as the space in which he himself was going to dwell. And he shared the earth bit with human creatures. How about that? Cute, huh? The earth bit. God and man dwell together. But the whole universe is God's dwelling place. Because God's kind of big. He needs the whole universe. Okay. This brings us to another point. And that is this. God did not create man because he was lonely. God did not create man because he was lonely. Because God was not lonely. God was not alone. God was a Trinity. God is, always has been, plural, yet singular. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. How do we know that? Genesis 1:26. Let us make man. Us. Not only that, but as I mentioned in John 17, this is a marvelous chapter because it gives us a little window, just a little window, into the relationship, especially of the Father and the Son. There's a relationship going on here, a mutual living in one another, dwelling in one another, loving one another, deferring one another, glorifying one another. So verse 5 says, and now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you. Listen, before the world was created, or before the world existed. Before the world existed, before humanity existed, what? The Father and the Son were glorifying one another. How about that? Then in verse 24 it says, Father, I desire, Jesus prays, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Not only is there glorifying going on here, there's this relationship of love between the Father and the Son. So the famous verse that the whole world knows, John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's a relationship here of the Trinity. God was not alone. God was not lonely. He didn't need to create man because he was alone. Jonathan Edwards from the 1700s had this to say: God is infinitely happy. Within God is a community of persons pouring, glorifying, joyful love into one another. Isn't that good? God is infinitely happy. Within God is a community of persons. God himself is a community. How about that? That's what Jonathan Edwards said. And in this community, what's going on? There is this pouring and glorifying love into one another. This is what's going on in the Trinity. For eternity is this way. So, to some extent, you have to say, we have to say, God didn't really need us. But God wanted us. There's a difference. Why? Because God wants man to be part of. In fact, you could say this. God had this relationship in himself of pouring, glorifying, joyful love into one another. He said, you know what? Let's make this bigger yet. Let's create man and let's bring man into this kind of relationship and fellowship. But to do that, this man's got to be what? In our image, in the image of God. There has to be some kind of correlation between this creature that God is going to create, and this creature has to, if he's going to have some kind of relationship with God, there's got to be some kind of similarity. Right? I have a dog. He's kind of cute, but he's dumb. He likes me. He likes my wife. But I can't carry on a conversation with him. He's rather disobedient. He comes when he wants to, unless I get really stern with him, and then he'll, all right, I'll come. He's not in my image. Is he cute? Yes. But he's not in my image. My relationship with him is... You don't usually say you got a relationship with your dog, right? We just don't say that. Because it's kind of a... Whatever. But God desired to have a relationship, extend this relationship that he had it with himself, with humankind. Man is made in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26. Do we have that? God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over. So, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That's crucial. We'll come to this. Man, being made in the image of God, reflects God. And as man in the creation is a reflection of God, and since God is in relationship already, the man whom God creates must also be in relationship. Therefore, it's male and female. It's not just male. It's not just one man. No, it's male and female. Why? Because God is a relational God. Humanity must also be relational. Because humanity is in the image of God, expressing God, reflecting God, they must be the same way. So, when God created man, that what was in God was overflowing. The love, the joy, the happiness. He desired to share what was in himself with his creation. So, man is in the image and likeness of God. I don't want to get into if there's a difference between image and likeness. I think that's kind of a rabbit hole. But anyway, we are like God. We are creatures who are corresponding to God. This is very interesting. You know, I think Ian may have covered this last week, but when God formed man, he what? He formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. No other creature had this. And then man became a living soul. The creatures on the earth, they also came from the ground, but it doesn't say that God breathed into them the breath of life. You know, you may say this, well, how come, according to biology, it seems that human beings and other creatures, there's a lot of similarity? That's because we all came from the dirt. However, the big difference is we are made in the image of God. In the likeness of God. And then God, in this relationship with man, said, okay, not only that, but now you, humankind, has dominion over all the other things in the universe. So, mankind not only is an expression of God, but mankind has been given responsibility by God for God's creation. We're given authority. Another word I'd like to use, we've been given stewardship of God's creation. If we realize we are number one in God's image, we are representing God. Secondly, we've been given authority over the creation. For what purpose? To ruin it? No. To use it for our existence, and to some extent to take care of God's creatures for their existence. Right? Word authority didn't say the authority to destroy all the creatures. Right?
Right.
Just another little aside. You know, in Genesis also, chapter 2, God gave, you know, here's something. If you were God, let me ask you this. If you were God, would you do this? Would you give man that much responsibility? First of all, here, all the creatures are going to make all these creatures. Okay, man. What is it? Give it a name. Call it something. And it doesn't appear that God vetoed any decision that Adam made. Adam said, that's a giraffe. And God didn't come and say, no, Adam, that's not a giraffe. That's a long neck. Oh, giraffe? Yeah, fine, giraffe. Of course, maybe in some language it is long neck. I don't know. What's a giraffe in Chinese? Which Chinese, right? A long necked deer. A long necked deer. How many syllables is that? God entrusted. God gave responsibility. Okay. But something we want to emphasize here this morning is that what? God is relational. So in this creation of mankind, this whole matter of relationship is a big, big part of this matter of God's creation. God is relational in himself, and God is relational with humanity, human beings. Some scholars have said that what? That humanity expresses God's image in relationship. It's just not that we are in God's image. And I just can, you know. No, the big factor in the fact that we're in God's image means we have to be in relationship with other people. Studies have been shown, you know, you have a child who's born, maybe he's an orphan or something, they're in an orphanage. They put it in a crib. They feed it. Right? Make sure that it's food, changed, whatever. All the basic physical needs. But if that child is not loved, if that child is not held, if that child is not cuddled, it will not thrive. It needs relationship. Every human being needs relationship. Why is it? I mean, okay, let's face it. In principle, if we are alone all the time, we become very discouraged. We just have to be with people. Right? Now, if you're with people too much, maybe it's a little overdose. But, in principle, we need people. And people make us happy. Hard to be happy all by yourself if you're all by yourself all the time. Just hard to be that happy. We need other people. So, marriage and in society in general becomes a picture of God himself, that he is relational. However, let me just say this before we stop for a break. We are made in the image of God to express God, to represent God, to image God in relationship. However, if we all ask ourselves honestly, we realize, we don't always image God. We don't always do a very good job of imaging and representing and expressing God. Why? Well, next, or 2 weeks from now, we'll come to this point. The image in humankind has been damaged by sin and by the fall. Therefore, we all, although we're made in the image of God, we are broken. The image of God has been damaged in humanity. We're not so pure. We're fallen. We have sin. Sin damaged and distorted the image of God in man. Sin has damaged and distorted the image of God in man. That's why we have so many problems in the world. Why? God's image in man has been damaged and distorted by sin. But God has provided salvation. Thank the Lord. God's salvation is what? To restore this, to gradually restore God's image in man. That's what Christ has done on the cross. To what? To restore damaged humanity. The damaged image. God is restoring through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross to restore the image of God in man. Thank the Lord for this.
Amen.
We couldn't do it. God did it. We messed up. God said, okay, I'm going to provide a way of salvation to bring you back to my original intention to bear my image. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you. We are in your image. This is all you're doing. It's nothing of us. But Lord, we do realize this is something special. But at the same time, we realize we've been fallen. We're damaged. But we thank you for your salvation.
Amen.
You die for us. You are redeeming us day by day. You are sanctifying us day by day. You are changing us and bringing us back to what you desired from the beginning.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We'll take a break. Come back at 11.